Well, we're looking forward to observing the Lord's Supper today, and we're going to continue along on our theme of remembrance. Thus far, we've looked at several points, and just a quick overview is we need to remember to be right with one another and to minister to one another. We need to remember our own infirmities, our own weakness, and particularly our own inability. And we need to remember as well that we're going to face opposition in this world as the disciples of Christ. But also that this old world will soon pass away. And there comes a better tomorrow. And whatever we've met and faced in this world will be trivial compared to those things to come. We've looked at those thus far. Next week, we'll remember, folks, that the Lord was pleased to use to pass on a great heritage and truth to us. But this week, we have the greatest remembrance of all. The remembrance of what our Lord accomplished for his people. The remembrance of what it cost to make that accomplishment. And so we continue on the theme of remembrance and the Lord's Supper that he set in his church. So we're to remember to observe the ordinances as they were delivered to us. We call it the Lord's Supper because it's the Lord's Supper. He placed it in his church. He gave us the authority and the responsibility to administer it, but it remains his supper. And we're to observe it as he delivered it and as he established it. Paul wrote to the church in Corinth in 1 Corinthians 11 and verse 2 says, "Now I praise you, brethren, that ye remember me in all things and keep the ordinances as I delivered them to you." The Lord set the ordinances in his church, baptism and the Lord's Supper. And the religious world has so changed these things and so obscured these things that they're not recognizable in much of churchianity today. Most churches today, even unfortunately those who still go by the name of Baptist, will observe open observance and open the supper to everybody. I'm sure they think they're being kind and they're being big-hearted. But they're violating the commands of Christ. They're violating the supper as the Lord instituted it. We're here to remember it, as the Lord said, and not to repeat it. I saw something in the paper this week that was just really astonishing that they even put it in the paper, and they had to explain it a little bit. You know, that great cathedral burnt down, and or was burned anyway, there in Notre Dame. And, you know, that was built on the back of selling indulgences to people and all this other junk that they promote, and it was filled with idols. And I'm not saying that it's a great thing, that, you know, I understand it was a big historic treasure, but I'm just saying, you know. But regardless, one of the French firemen, and I guess there's still a few folks in France that are still religious. There are not too many of them, but evidently this fireman was a good Catholic. And he said he was proud that he was able to save Jesus from the fire. And then the paper even explained that, you know, the Catholics believe that the consecrated hosts become the literal body of Jesus. And so this fireman thought he was thankful that he saved Jesus from the fire. Wow, what kind of God is that? Didn't the Lord talk in the Old Testament times and talked about the pagans that, you know, your God, he can't move. You got to pick him up and move him. And as he wrote about Christmas trees and stuff. So you got to pick your God up and you got to move him. And you got to take care of your God. Our God doesn't need taken care of.
Right.
And we don't have to save Jesus. We don't have to rescue Jesus. We needed him to do that for us. It's just sad. It's just very, very sad. And these things have been so obscured and perverted from the truth that is in Christ. And so we're here today to remember the Lord and his atonement, to remember it, not to repeat it, to remember him and not, you know, Aunt Jane or someone else to remember the Lord and what he did. And so Paul says, I praise you, brethren, that you remember me in all things and keep the ordinances as I deliver them to you. We don't have the authority to change things. Again, Rome has to acknowledge, most of them will acknowledge, that, you know, immersion was the original baptism. The very word means that. But they said, well, the church had the authority to change it. Where did that come from? We don't have authority to change the commands of Christ. So we're to remember to observe the ordinances as they were delivered to us. And we're to remember as well that the real purpose of the supper is to remember the Lord. And 1 Corinthians 11, verse 23, Paul writes to the saints there. He says, for I've received of the Lord that which I also delivered unto you. Paul delivered what he received from the Lord, not what he made up. That the Lord Jesus, the same night and when he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he brake it and said, take, eat. This is my body, which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me. Again, it's a remembrance. It's not a repetition. After the same manner also he took the cup when he had supped and said, this cup is the New Testament in my blood. This do ye as oft as ye drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as ye eat this bread and drink this cup, ye do show the Lord's death till he come. So it's a remembrance, and it's a showing forth of what was accomplished on our behalf. Additionally, concerning the supper, we're to remember not only the Lord's atonement and death, but we're to remember his glorious resurrection. And brethren, we do that every Sunday. That's why we meet upon the first day of the week. We don't observe the pagan Easter like the rest of the world is at this time of the year. We're not observing the Lord's Supper because it's Easter. We're observing it, I like to do it, the Sunday after Passover, because the Lord instituted it in conjunction with Passover and in conjunction with his death, which again was that same time of the year. It's not necessary that it be done that day. Some churches observe it every week, some monthly, some quarterly. And I've come to the position that I like to do it once a year. We could do it different. But I think it's altogether appropriate that we mark it at the time that the Lord instituted it, at the time of year that, and not at the time of the year that was associated with the Easter bunny and eggs and all that other pagan garbage. Paul wrote to young Timothy, the pastor at the church of Ephesus, in 2 Timothy 2 and verse 8. He said, remember that Jesus Christ, the seed of David, was raised from the dead according to my gospel. Think about that, folks, really. Raised from the dead. Wherein I suffer trouble as an evildoer, even unto bonds, but the word of God is not bound. Therefore, I endure all things for the elect's sake, that they may also obtain the salvation which is in Christ Jesus with eternal glory. It is a faithful saying. If we be dead with him, we shall also live with him. If we suffer, we shall also reign with him. If we deny him, he will deny us. If we believe not, yet he abideth faithful. He cannot deny himself. Of these things, put them in remembrance, charging them before the Lord, that they strive not about words to no profit, but to the subverting of hearers. Remember Jesus Christ, the seed of David, who was raised from the dead. We're to remember the Lord's resurrection, and that's why, again, we meet on the first day. And every Sunday is Resurrection Sunday. We're to remember as well the great benefits that have been bestowed upon us by his glorious atonement. One of the first things we can remember in relation to the atonement is that God is not going to remember our iniquities. Hebrews 8 and verse 10, Paul writes, "For this is the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel after those days, saith the Lord. I will put my laws in their minds and write them in their hearts. And I will be to them a God, and they shall be to me a people. And they shall not teach every man his neighbor and every man his brother, saying, Know the Lord. For all shall know me, from the last to the greatest. For I will be merciful to the unrighteous, and their sins and their iniquities will I remember no more." Concerning God's elect, we're told God isn't going to remember our sins and iniquities anymore. He's going to cast them from himself. Oh, he's still omniscient and whatever, but they're never going to be brought up again. They're never going to be related to us because they've been placed in the Lord Jesus Christ, who became our suretyship. Continuing down in Hebrews 10 and verse 16, Paul writes, "This is a covenant that I will make with them after those days, saith the Lord. I will put my laws into their hearts, and in their minds will I write them." It all relates to what we've been studying in Galatians. You know, it's not the old laws written on the tablets, but it's God's laws written in our heart and in our mind. And he continues, verse 17, "And their sins and their iniquities will I remember no more." We're to remember that God's not going to remember our sins and iniquities. What a glorious, glorious truth that is. And the benefit that's been bestowed upon us because of the atonement of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. On the other hand, the Lord will remember his people. He will remember his people in death. He will remember his people in eternity. Luke writes in Luke 23 and verse 42. "Then he said unto Jesus," speaking the thief on the cross. Now there was a man. He didn't do anything good in his whole life. He couldn't turn over a new leaf, and he couldn't start a new life. He was dying. And yet, it's revealed he was one of the Lord's elect. Why? I don't know. "And he said unto Jesus, Lord, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom. And Jesus said unto him, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, today shalt thou be with me in paradise." Wow. Here's a malefactor dying on the cross. He says, "Lord, remember me." Lord says, "Today you'll be with me in paradise." All by the grace of God. And we are to remember in that context that what we are by the grace of God. We're to remember what we were and what we're still yet to become. And what we are is by the grace of God. Ephesians, Paul writes in Ephesians 2 and verse 11, "Wherefore remember that ye being in time past Gentiles in the flesh, who were called uncircumcision by that which is called the circumcision in the flesh made by hands." He said, you know, you all were dirty, rotten, stinking Gentiles, but beyond that, you're unregenerate. Just like the Jews that are unregenerate, that have only received the external circumcision. "And you were called the uncircumcision by that which is called the circumcision in the flesh, made by hands, that at that time ye were without Christ, That's where we were. Being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel. Strangers from the covenants of promise. Having no hope. And without God in the world. Folks, that's the way we're all born in this old world, because of our relationship to Adam. We're born dead in trespasses and sin. We're born without hope and without God. They're one of those great buts that come in Scripture. Paul says, but now, in Christ Jesus, ye who were sometimes far off are made nigh by the blood of Christ. You were all these things. You were aliens. But now, you're made nigh by the blood of Christ. These things are revealed to God's elect, who were justified in Christ from the beginning. But even so, born dead in trespasses and sin because of our relationship to Adam. And as men and women, alienated and separated. And so we were to remember what we were and what by the grace of God we've become. Even as Paul would ask, you know, what do you have that you didn't receive? Mm-hmm. Who makes you to differ from another? Was it you? Was I you? It was all God, and it was all His grace. And so as we come to the Lord's table, we remember the Lord. We remember His death. We remember His glorious resurrection. And in the context, the Lord said we're to do this till He comes again. We're to remember His promised return. All those things that this particular and special ordinance that He set in His church. Luke 22:19 again. And He took bread and gave thanks and broke it and gave it to them, saying, this is my body which is given you. This do in remembrance of me. So now we need to remember our Lord and His death for us. Remember His glorious resurrection and His soon return. And we're to observe this again as the Lord ordained it. We're to observe it as it was delivered to us. We read just one passage over in Acts 2 concerning the early church. And we see there, doing things decently and in order, doing them as they're delivered. Acts 2, and beginning of verse 41. Then they that gladly received His word. Well, the only folks that gladly received the word are the regenerated people. They were regenerated by the Holy Spirit. They were born again, and they received the word. Because they've been granted repentance and faith, and so they were converted. They were regenerated, they were converted. Then they that gladly received His word, and it goes on, were baptized. The only proper order is baptism first. Someone who's not been baptized is not a proper participant in the Lord's Supper. And in case you don't realize it, you know, most of the religious world out there, regardless of what they call it, they've not been baptized. Have a little water sprinkled in it, they've not been baptized. So, they're regenerated, they're converted, they're baptized, and the same day that were added unto them, it's the local church at Jerusalem. They were members of the local church. It's a church ordinance, and the church is to have authority over all those who observe the supper with her. And that's not because we're narrow and ugly that we restrict it to church members. It's because that's what the Lord requires of us. Again, I always use that example. You know, folks would come in and expect maybe to partake of the Lord's Supper. But if they came in and we were held disciplinary hearing against them, they wouldn't like that very much. They'd say, you can't do that. You're right, we can't. And that's why we why you can't observe the supper with us. I mean, you can observe it as a viewer. And it teaches things. We show the Lord's death. They that gladly received his word were baptized the same day that were added unto them about 3,000 souls. And they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship. Again, the Lord's Supper are for those who are seeking to walk aright, for those who are walking as the Lord set before us. And they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship and believed right. And they were seeking to live right. And then finally we read in the breaking of bread and in prayers. And so the proper order that's established there to do things decently and ordered, and we seek by the grace of God to continue to do that regardless of what the rest of the religious world and realm may do and regardless of how that's received in this day and age. And so, as we come to the Lord's table, let's rise and sing a closing hymn together. Number 274, His Pierced Hands. 274. We come to the supper in remembrance of the Lord's atonement, his broken body, of his shed blood. And we'll come now and ask a blessing, even as the Lord blessed the meal as he distributed it amongst his disciples. A blessing upon the bread of which we're about to partake. Father, we thank you for this day that we set aside in remembrance of our Lord's glorious resurrection. This first day of the week that we mark every week. And Lord, we thank you not only for his resurrection and atonement, Lord, but that he came, that God became man. Lord, and but for that, we could not be redeemed. None other could take the full punishment. An infinite and an eternal punishment that we deserve because we sinned against an infinite and eternal God. And none but God could bear that punishment for us and for all of the elect. Father, we thank you that our Lord became a man. We thank you for the great love that sent him to Calvary's cross. Lord, the external punishment that he received at the hands of the Romans. And yet, Lord, we know that even greater was poured out upon him. As you poured out your wrath on your son, the wrath we deserved. And so, Father, we do thank you for his body that was broken for us. And we do this in remembrance of that. Amen. I have received of the Lord that which also I delivered unto you, that the Lord Jesus, the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, "Take, eat. This is my body, which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me." Father, we thank you for that precious crimson stream that flowed from Calvary's mountain. Lord, as Paul reminds us, without the shedding of blood, there is no remission. And he also reminds us that all the other sacrifices that preceded our Lord's were but types and pictures that pointed to that one true and final one. Paul reminds us that the blood of bulls and goats could no wise take away sin. And yet, Lord, the precious blood of our Savior has washed your people clean, has made them yours. Heirs and children Father, we can't comprehend such love. My God, become a man and suffer and pour out his blood for us. Father, we thank you that he deigned to do so. For without that, we would yet be dead, aliens, without God. Thank you again for that blood, for his atonement, and we pray in his name. After the same manner also, he took the cup when he had supped, saying, "This cup is the New Testament in my blood. This do ye as oft as ye drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as ye eat this bread and drink this cup, ye do shew the Lord's death till he come." The Gospels tell us after the Lord's institution of the supper, after they sang a hymn, they went out to the Mount of Olives. And so we'll stand and sing number 147, the third verse, number 147, the third verse together as our closing hymn. Father, again, we thank you for this day, what it means to your people. Lord, we thank you for our Savior, that all-sufficient and completed atonement beyond our understanding, a love that spanned eternity, that was shed broad upon such as we. Lord, go with us as we depart from here. Use us this week to your glory. Conform us to the image of your Son. And it's in his precious name that we pray. Amen.
Amen.